All right, good morning. So the notes in the back are not necessarily needed for the sermon, but we as the elders are entering into a four-week devotional time. So every week we're going to start with a message, and then we're going to give you guys these kind of layouts, and we'll send out text messages to kind of encourage you guys. But the goal for January is, as a body, that we're going in the same direction in some sort of devotional. So that's what that is. We've outlined a 7-day devotional for you. And then, like I said, there's going to be different topics throughout this month. And so you'll hear from Chris and Jeremy as well. So I'll just want to pull that up real quick. So today we're talking about fasting, everyone's favorite topic. And then next week, Jeremy is going to speak about praying the names of God, which is going to be really cool. We're going to get the kids involved with that as well, I think. I don't know if Jeremy's talked to you, Tanya. You're hearing about it for the first time, I guess. Okay. And then we're going to go into going deep in the scriptures. And then Chris is going to end us off with godly submission. So just a lot of fun topics that we're excited for to go together. So today, if you haven't heard, kicks off our 7-day fast as a church. And I heard a couple of sighs there, which is all right. But I want to kind of preface today's message. I have another chair here because I'm going to bring my beautiful wife Breezy up, and we're going to talk about some health benefits to fasting as well. So you're going to get a little bit of spiritual, a little bit of physical, and hopefully a lot of Holy Spirit conviction, right? Amen, brother. Okay. So I want to start this out, though. My stance on fasting is a personal conviction from the Lord. I hope that conviction rubs off, but there's no judgment here. I just want to just start out with that is how the Lord leads you into fasting is between you and Him. And I just want to, the encouragement is, whatever you choose to do at the end of this message, I'm just inviting you to do it with us. That's it. That's my only ask, is that some sort of fasting is done. If you're part of this family, that we're doing this together. Fair enough? All right. So, again, I'm going to be pretty intense. There's grace. All right. So, fasting, the purpose of fasting, and it talks about it a lot through the scriptures. You know, from Abraham to Daniel, and there's all of these different people in the Old Testament and New Testament, and there's various reasons. Sometimes it's focusing on centering our spirits on prayer. It's seeking to dedicate ourselves in that focus. Sometimes it's seeking guidance or intervention in serious matters. Sometimes it's expressing repentance for sin. If we've been drawn back into the Lord, fasting is a lot of times used in that repentance of saying, God, I am using this fast as almost a modern day version of the sackcloth and ash of repenting back to you. But essentially, that dependence on God that we're breaking down our bodies for is using our physical act of fasting to amplify our spirits, okay? So this is a tool for a lot of things, but for something that I'm going to talk about today, it's a tool for holiness, okay? This is not the only tool. This is not an essential doctrine. So what I mean by that is, if you don't fast, you're still going to go to heaven if you believe in Jesus, okay? But what this is we're saying, hey, guys, you're digging a hole with your hands, but if you use the shovel, you're going to get there quicker, and it's going to be a lot less messy on your hands, right? So that's kind of what we're doing. One of my favorite quotes that just stabs me straight through the heart every time is from John Wesley. And he asks the question, why are we as the church not more holy? Chiefly because we are enthusiasts. We want the end without the means. And in this context, he was actually referring to fasting, where in order to attain that, there are tools that the Lord has outlined, and there's going to be sacrifice. It might not chiefly be through fasting. It might not chiefly be through praying, but there are aspects that the Lord calls us through and the tools that he gives us through the word that allows us to enter into his holiness. Okay, so let's define fasting. What is fasting? And a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is somewhat rehashing the message we talked through the spiritual disciplines earlier last year. So if you were there for that, there will be some review here and a test afterwards. All right, what is fasting? So we have broadened this meaning of what fasting is in our modern day. And this is not as much nowadays, but I remember when like Facebook and YouTube and all that was starting to come out, there was a huge movement of on corporate fasts, people would be like, I'm fasting Facebook, or I'm fasting my video games. And that's cool, that's good, but that's not fasting, okay? So when we're talking about fasting, we're going to be specifically talking about the abstaining from food, sustenance to our physical body, because that's what needs to be broken down. And so what this is we're fasting to self-deny anything that might hinder us from God. And when we have these planned meals and we go through it, that's great. But it's something that we stop our day and we partake in. We fill up our body so there's no need, okay? A verse I didn't give you, Alan, and I'm sorry. But we're going to read through the Beatitudes. So the Beatitudes, they start out, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we just talked about that last week, right? About the kingdom of heaven and what we're called to. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what that means, the poor in spirit, is that we have need of God because we're broken, okay? Heidi Baker talks about being poor in spirit often when she's started out in Africa. And if anyone has been on a third world mission trip, you know this to be true, that when you pray for healing, when you pray for a move of God to happen, it's so easy. It's right there. Praying for blind people in Africa and praying for blind people in America are two vastly different things because of this reality that they are poor in spirit. And they're poor in spirit because they're poor in body. They have a poverty. They don't know if where their next meal is going to come from. They don't know if they're going to live. They don't know if they're going to have medicine. But for here, like most of us, and I'm going to say most because I know there's a couple of you that have, but most of us have never thought about where is my next meal coming from, right? We're going to figure it out. Or if something happens, we know that we can get help. And so because of that, we've filled our bodies so much in our minds with we're okay, we're self-sufficient, we're Americans, we can do this ourselves. We'll pull ourselves up by the bootstrap because we don't need anybody, right? We're self-made. And so fasting gives the opportunity. It's a voluntary act to say, if I don't eat, I am cranky. If I don't eat, I am weak. I am tired. I am cold. As Reese was like last night, she's like, hey, when we're on this fast, the deal is we turn up the thermostat in our house, okay? So that was, I'm doing it. We're turning it up. So that's there's an invitation. And what this is in the Beatitudes, so it starts out of blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, okay? It's a voluntary invitation to say, hey, if you want to have the kingdom of heaven, become poor in spirit. Then later on in the Beatitudes, it goes through blessed are those who mourn and are meek. And at the very end, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the two people that inherit the kingdom of heaven in the Beatitudes, it starts out there as a choice of becoming poor in spirit through self-denial or persecution will happen. It's the same outcome is what I'm saying, is we can choose. The Lord is giving us an invitation of you can choose to be poor in spirit. Fasting is one of those tools, and you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have all the things that are good that I've laid out for you, and I'm inviting you into those. But also, if you want to be persecuted, the same outcome will come. It's good. It's all good. But it all is hard, right? That's the point. But the Lord offers us a choice. Because for me, you know, in Revelation, it talks through the letters of the churches. And the two churches that Jesus has nothing against are the two churches that are persecuted. Right? Persecution, or that denial of self, produces holiness, that we walk in his presence. And for me, in my life, I'm like, I have no idea how to get there. How do I get to be like the church in China for the last 50 years, where they longed for persecution because of what it produced? And Jesus is saying, be poor in spirit. And this is a tool, is fasting, okay? So what is fasting? It's that abstaining from food. How you do it is up to you. But I will say this, if you're fasting vegetables and eating only donuts, you're probably not right either. So every fast that is outlined in the Bible is, if there are eating food, it's abstaining from rich food. Okay, so if you're going to do the Daniel fast is not donuts, okay, because it's not meat. It's vegetables, right? But a lot of times when we're walking in this, it's not the legalities. Don't get that. It's not the legalities, but know that there are things that are fasting and things that are not fasting. Okay, so the appetites. This is the why, okay? And we're going to go this real quick, and then I'm going to invite Breezy up to talk through some health benefits. So something that I've heard is from a couple of people that loathe fasting is, God would never ask me to do this. And that's somewhat true and somewhat not true. And what I mean by that is, yes, God's going to call you to fast, but also in Daniel, and let's turn to that. We're going to turn to Daniel 10. And so this part of Daniel was a great man. He was amazing. And he was a faster. And he did it in several different ways. So Daniel decides to fast, okay? And this was not an invitation from the Lord, but out of the place of mourning, Daniel chose that he wanted to be close to God. So he chose in mourning to fast for 3 full weeks. And he says, in verse 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Okay. So then later on, he gets encountered by this angel. Okay. So this angel had a message from God. This is before the Holy Spirit. He was trying to get back to Daniel to give him the message, and he encountered what he calls the Prince of Persia. So there was a demon stopped him from coming, and Daniel, through his fast, his perseverance, was able to encounter this angel at the end of it, okay? And when the angel shows up and Michael comes and helps him, why Michael waits 20 days to help him, I don't know. You'll have to take that up with him. But at the end of that, he comes and he says to Daniel, I just lost my place. What verse did I give you, Alan? Oh, there it is right there, 10:12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." And so there was this choice that Daniel chose to humble himself in mourning and in fasting to hear a word from the Lord. And so there's an invitation that if you are dealing with this question of, I can't hear from the Lord right now, or I have this situation that there is nothing that I can do in my own power to bring forth, whether it's, I mean, again, if it's something tragic in your life, whether it's a financial situation and you need to hear God, there is an invitation saying, if you fast, he will show up. Okay. And how he shows up is going to be different for every person. So Jesus, he set out this example. He fasted for 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, he gets tempted by Satan. Does everyone remember that story? He was tempted with three different things. And some people call that the three carnal appetites. Okay. So Matthew 4, this was before Jesus started his ministry. He goes through and he finishes the fast, and then the first thing he's tempted with is hunger. Okay, so Matthew 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So Satan immediately encounters him with this appetite of hunger. In the book that I recommended last week, Atomic Power with God Through Fasting and Prayer. Has anyone read that book by chance? Okay, oh yeah, Justin, Daniel, nice. All right, all you guys, I'm telling you, this book is going to rock your world on fasting. So this week, if you need some encouragement, read that book. So in this book, Reverend Franklin Hall talks about how the carnal appetites, which are first hunger, second the appetite of life or sex, and the appetite of greed. Okay, the three main carnal appetites. And when we subdue the first one that Jesus is tempted with, the others fall away. The appetite of greed, the appetite of your sexual desires, all of those things, they fall away, which are connected with sin, and we're able to feed our spiritual appetite, right? We have that hunger in our spirit, and sometimes we don't know how to get there. So Jesus was first tempted with that appetite of hunger. And then you're saying, Rory, how was Jesus tempted with the second appetite? There's this interesting thing. And I'm going to read a snippet from Franklin Hall. It says, when a person tries, let me set this up a little better. With the appetite of life, sex. Sex is the start of life, right? It's a huge thing where that God cares about very deeply. That is it's the foundation of life. He has a lot of rules around. The premarital sex is sin in his eyes. And he calls us to do this well. But there's also this thing where sex is directly connected to death as well. So when a person commits suicide, and Franklin Hall says, when this happens, when a person commits suicide or tries to kill another or tempts God along the line of this murder or suicide, we find that is related to the sexual desire, as sex and death or life and death are kindred. And so Satan immediately takes him after he says no to the bread. He takes him to the top of the temple, and he was tempted with, throw yourself down. The angels will catch you. It'll be fine. So there's this temptation of the death aspect, and Jesus resists that temptation. And I do believe that this was a temptation throughout his life because he was human. And then finally, the appetite of greed. Satan finally comes to him with a third temptation. And he says, I will give you all. I will give you the keys to this world if you will only bow down to me. So the appetite of greed. And Jesus was able to overcome him. Number one, because he's the Son of God. But he shows us, and I think this is very intentional, that from a place of fasting, that his spirit was filled up in order to overcome the appetites of the flesh. The appetite of the spirit is dulled by these three things. When we continuously fill our bellies, when we continuously fill our appetite of greed and of our carnal desires, we don't allow our spirit to grow within us. So by turning off that tap, the hunger of food turns off those other three, or the other two, and it allows our spirit to walk forth in the fullness of what the Holy Spirit wants to encounter. And our spirit man longs to have that. We want to have prominence over our body, right? That's one of my favorite prayers to pray over my kids when we're putting them to sleep, is blessing their spirit to have prominence over their body and their soul so that they can encounter the goodness of the Lord. And again, what I'm saying, guys, I'm not saying that fasting is the only way to build up your spirit, but it's like superfood for your spirit. You become poor in spirit. You become tender. There's a tenderness that sometimes happens. And sometimes you become very angry, which is also something good to deal with, right? I'm going to invite Breezy up while I talk through some of the fruit of fasting. Let's give Breezy a hand for doing this. Wow. All right. So the fruit of fasting. So fasting, which we're going to talk about in a second, not only allows for healing of our spirit, but healing for our body. There is a correlation, and the reason that for me, I am a hardcore, if you're fasting, do a water fast. And when I got to that point, it was when I saw what it does to the body. The Lord designed us to fast and to have a true fast where we're not breaking it through anything else, through the juices or the coffees or anything like that. There's a physical thing that happens. And I was convinced in that moment that the Lord in my life wanted me to do the water fasting to go all the way. And it's hard, guys. I'm not going to say it's easy. But the fruit of that is that we get to tap into the supernatural aspect of who he is. Healings. When we have we want the breakthrough in the spiritual realms, as it says in Daniel 10. It creates an atmosphere to enter into greater holiness through Jesus and setting ourselves apart. When we need breakthrough in bondage of weakness or heavy burdens or for others, so if there's things in our lives that we need breakthrough in, that it, people are called to fast through those moments. And what I want to say is this, is we are a kingdom people. And we are preparing for the Lord's return. And I believe in Matthew 25, it talks about the 10 virgins and how there were some that were prepared, some that were not. And this is an aspect to fill your cups, to fill the oil that you have stored up in the intimacy of Jesus. And there's an invitation here. Okay, did I miss anything? I don't know. Okay, good.
Hello. Okay. Hello, I'm Breezy. So here's what happened. I have very fit friends, very athletic, I'm just giving you a little backstory. One day they were fasting and they were doing a 3-day water fast, and it wasn't for the Lord. And it was for health and for all the benefits that come with it. And I have only really fasted water fasting one day at a time in my life, like sporadically. And I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit because I was like, these people are fasting for health because they are finding more and more things, more and more research of how it benefits the body and how our body heals itself through fasting. And I was like, I'm a believer, and I don't regularly do 3-day water fasts. If I hear a 7-day fast, I'm like, okay, Lord, what else can I do? What can I get away with? And so when I started researching these things, honestly, when I learned these things, it silenced the voice of the enemy. And that's why I'm up here to share these things. I'm not here to guilt trip anyone into doing any type of fast. This is truly between you and the Lord. And so I just want to say that if the Lord tells you to Daniel fast, please do that. But I wanted to share what I learned, because when I learned these things, it truly silenced the enemy, and that's why I hopefully would do that for some of you here today. Maybe the Holy Spirit's already been convicting you, and this will help. So when we fast, and these things I'm going to talk about is water fasting, the first thing that happens shortly after you cut off food and carbohydrates and calories is a very now famous term. Your body goes into ketosis. And so it switches into a secondary form of energy source. And your body burns ketones instead of calories, instead of using food. And what does this do? There's so many, you can achieve ketosis by, of course, cutting off carbohydrates, but there's more to it, so we'll get into it. But it improves your cognitive function. It has an antioxidant effect. It's shown to protect against Alzheimer's, because your brain loves ketones. It thrives and it repairs itself when you go into ketosis. And the ketones also suppress your hunger hormone, ghrelin. And so about after 1 to 2 days, you're not going to be hungry anymore. God designed it so that your hunger leaves. If you juice fast, there's probably a good chance you'd be hungry the whole time, because you're constantly taking in carbs, right? But hunger leaves. And then what happens? Your body's running, you're running off of ketones, your brain is functioning, you're still able to walk and move around. Your body, about after 17 hours, it goes into what is called autophagy. And the scientist who discovered this, even though obviously it's been around forever, he won the Nobel Prize in 2016. And what he discovered and what it is shown to do, it's a cellular process in which the body breaks down, it recycles bad components such as proteins, organelles, cellular debris, bad mitochondria like cancer cells. The way to frame it is, when you're eating, you're always taking in inflammation, right? When you're eating, you're making your body work. When you stop eating, your cells get a break. And it's literally like they start looking around your body, they pinpoint everything bad, and they start eating it up and tearing it down. So it's out with the bad and in with the new. And when you stop eating, your body reproduces cellular reproduction 5 times better than when you're eating. And so it's like this regeneration. And what they found directly is that your body can heal itself way better when you're not eating than when you are. And so these doctors are now prescribing fasting to heal people's bodies, even including things like sports injuries. There's an example, Dr. Mindy, she talks a lot about this. She had runner's knee, and it was bothering her for months, and she's like, what am I doing? I'm going to try fasting to see if I can repair my knee. After 3 days, the pain was nearly gone. She was like, I'm going to keep going. After 5 days, it was gone. And so I'm going to read a list of just all the things, but that's the mechanism with how God designed us to have our body repair itself. And so it makes sense when he tells us, when you fast, do these things. It makes sense that our God, the God of the universe, showed us and displayed he himself fasting. So it's a process of rejuvenation and healing. It reduces inflammation. It accelerates wound healing. It regenerates your intestinal stem cells. It rests your organs. It removes toxins. It normalizes your blood chemistry. It rejuvenates your cells and tissue. It improves digestion and assimilation, or how you process food, and it reduces risk of chronic diseases. They're finding more about cancers, but I'm not going to get into that. But essentially, just when I was deep diving into it, because I was trying to figure out why my really fit friends were even bothering, I'm like, oh my gosh. I just really felt God say, like, you can do this. I designed you for this. I made you for this. And not only that, I demonstrated it to you. And so what it did is, just learning these things, it silenced the voice of the enemy. I'm like, okay, we can do this. And we can do this together, and we can do it as a family. Again, if this is truly between you and the Lord, and if you have like diabetic or other issues, then that's something totally different. But the final thing, and this is just more of a recommendation, is I also discovered that tap water does not have enough electrolytes in it. And I always kind of knew that, but it is, yeah, it'll technically dehydrate you if you're not taking in food or sodium or anything else with it. And so what we found is you can add salt to your water. The reason why I'm telling you this is because Rory, like, almost fainted a few times during his last fast, and it was because he was so dehydrated, even though he was drinking all the water. And so I ran out and got him smart waters and stuff. You can add salt to your water, or Trace Minerals makes electrolyte drops completely, no calories, no flavor, no nothing. It's just like salt, potassium, chloride, and you're just putting it straight into your water to remineralize your water, because what comes out of our tap or out of our fridge does not have enough. So hydration is key if you do decide to do that. But that's what I wanted to share.
That's good. That was a good TED Talk, huh? All right. Thanks, Breezy. You stay up here. All right. So why are we doing this fast as a church? Do we all just want to be healthy? Do we all want to? What? No. The reason that we're doing this fast as a church is we are kingdom people. We desire to be prepared for the kingdom, and that's a part of it. The other aspect is we as a church, we want to seek the Lord's face for 2025 together. As the elders, we've been praying and fasting through a lot of stuff. That's one aspect of it. But the other is, we together as a family, we want to hear what the Lord is speaking. And so my encouragement this week is, as you guys are fasting and seeking the Lord, and on top of the fasting thing, something that I encourage is, put down all your vices, whatever those are. If your vice is doom scrolling at night to detach from your job or after school, put down your phone. If it's movies, put down the movies, and fill those times where you'd be eating or vegging out with seeking the Lord in prayer and in the Word. And what we want is, we want to hear about the dreams, because I'm telling you guys, weird dreams happen when you fast, because you're opening your spirit up. So definitely be cautious of that. But we want to hear about those. We want to hear about your dreams. We want to hear about what the Lord is speaking. And next week on Sunday, we're going to have a time of testimonies before Jeremy speaks, of just hearing what the Lord is doing. Another thing that we're going to do is, this Wednesday, we're going to get together and worship together as a family. And so definitely, instead of eating dinner, come join us and worship the Lord. But that's what the Lord is calling us into, is this. I was listening, we were driving back from Durango last night, and there's a song by Upper Room called On the Altar. And there's this portion of it, I was just thinking through what the Lord is doing, and also what the devil is trying to do in our body right now. And this song, there's a line that says, I want to be the oil. I want to be the sacrifice, talking about being on the altar. I want to be a laid down lover all of my life. I want to live on that altar. And what that meant to me in that moment is that the Lord is calling us into intimacy. He's calling us into surrender with Him, that we're called not to be, we're not called to this earth. We're visitors. Our goal is the kingdom of heaven. And He desires for the kingdom of heaven to be here and now, for the sake of those that don't know Him. And this is an aspect of that. So, Matt, I'll have you come up. This morning, during ministry time, if you guys have things in your body that need to be healed, if you have things in your mind that need to be healed in your family, I want to encourage you guys to come up and get some prayer. Go ahead and let's stand together. And ministry team, I'll have you come up. And baby, if you want to come up too. So I just encourage you guys to come up for prayer. If you need encouragement, if you're scared to fast, come up for prayer. I'm excited to do this and to see what the Lord is going to produce out of this body. Jesus. Let's stretch our hands. Let's receive from the Lord. Father, I ask you right now that you would open our ears, that you would open our eyes. We desire to hear from you, for you to lead us, God. We thank you that you've designed our bodies for this, that you call us into this to fortify our spirits. But we don't want religion. We want your word. We want your presence. We want you to speak into our hearts and into our lives, God, into our families. I pray for dreams and visions from heaven this week. I pray that you would encounter this body, these people, those that are listening online. I pray just for an encounter that you would touch with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We long to listen to you. We long to hear your voice from heaven for direction for this year, God. I pray just a blessing over the families represented here. Jesus.